All right, I want to talk quarterbacks around the NFL. Let's start with this one in Cleveland. So for all the talk about the Browns having four QBs, because originally it was five, now they're down to just three. They've got their starter, the ageless Joe Flacco.
Flacco!
They've got their backup, who they just drafted, Dylan Gabriel, who was taken in the third round with the 94th pick. And then they've got Shedeur Sanders, who's going to be their QB3, who they also just drafted in the fifth round, two rounds after Gabriel. But here's where I wanted to go with this. So number one, good for them. They only kept three quarterbacks. That's the correct thing to do. They traded Kenny Pickett last night to the Raiders for a draft pick. And they actually did better in that trade than I thought they
would
be
able to.
The Shedeur Sanders commentary and discourse is just at an all-time level. We haven't really seen this since Tim Tebow, in my opinion. The arguing, the nonsensical takes, the insanity over a quarterback who's third on a depth chart, went fifth in a draft. I mean, some of the stuff that you see about this is insane to me. I walked in to pick up lunch today, and the you know, big screen was showing FS1. And it was, I think, Aaron Andrews sitting in for Colin Cowherd. Not Aaron Andrews. Rachel Nichols.
Okay.
Sitting in for Colin Cowherd. And the bottom of the screen said something to the effect of, you know, Browns trade Kenny Pickett, keep three quarterbacks. What does this mean for Shedeur getting on the field or something? And everyone's just doing the thing where they're trying to come up with the topic because they know it's polarizing and divisive and whatever else. But if you go around and look at some of the things that were said about Shedeur Sanders, the O-line suddenly doesn't know how to hold up since Shedeur Sanders starts playing, but Dylan Gabriel has all day to dance in the pocket. Something isn't adding up. Josina Anderson was like a national reporter. Kevin Stefanski was way too diplomatic today with how he handled his quarterback evaluation as far as what was necessary and what wasn't. The head coach has to be cognizant of actions that build his guys up versus introducing more mental static than is necessary. Second, unless Shedeur Sanders, oblique, was wincing just to walk, he should have played it. Like, everyone knows more than Kevin Stefanski.
Right.
The idea is that he is trying to ruin Shedeur Sanders' career, that they're throwing him. I don't know this person, Jerome Anton. Kevin Stefanski gives Dylan Gabriel easy, short routes with max protection, and then gives Shedeur Sanders BS plays with an O-line that looks like they just ate a gang of Little Debbies. Bleep you, Browns, trade Shedeur. Like, these are media people.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent, but Mike Renner, who is a great draft analyst from CBS Sports, like, gathered a bunch of these, aggregated a bunch of these. But you see this everywhere.
I mean, it's incredible.
People are going insane about this. My favorite take, Danny, the one that's the dumbest of them all, is Robert Griffin. He said this. I'm not saying he had the worst take, but this is the worst take, and he happened to mention this in something recently. I'm not throwing Robert under the bus. But as an example, the worst take I've seen is, well, why is it that they didn't give Shedeur Sanders, like, every opportunity that they gave Dylan Gabriel? They drafted Dylan Gabriel two rounds earlier. One of them was taken in the third round at 94. The other one was taken in the fifth round the same year. Like, when Washington drafted Robert Griffin II and Kirk Cousins 104, they didn't give them the same opportunities in training camp. That would have been a stupid thing to do. People cannot help themselves with Shedeur Sanders.
They can't help.
It's almost like the celebrity quarterback that doesn't equal the talent thing, and I'm not even out on his talent. I think he could eventually maybe play in the league. I have no idea. He might be really good. I just know that when people go crazy over someone like this, I'm out.
You have seen it. I mean, and you mentioned Griffin. You saw it with Griffin. You saw it with Tim Tebow, and you're seeing it now, and there are probably other examples that you can come up with. The one to me isn't even that one. It's the one you mentioned kind of early on that I really want to hone in on. The offensive line blocks worse than, like, the Bradley Beal, like, hand on the chin emoji kind of thing. Let's delve into that for just a brief moment, if we may. These guys that are trying to have careers in the NFL, what they've decided to do is sacrifice those careers to block a little bit worse to have the quarterback that's behind him not be as successful. The idea being the guard that is fighting for a roster spot, trying to start, trying to feed his family, is going to go, you know what? Screw them kids. I don't really like my wife. Let's see if I can get cut and go to another city. Maybe I'll try to catch on as a free agent somewhere else, because the guy behind me I don't like as much, or something.
They're all in cahoots. They all had a big meeting.
That the idea that that is a secret offensive line cabal or some sort of weird thing, a conspiracy against your guy or the dude that you're advocating for, is the single most insane, inane, nonsensical blather in human history. And it's not that this isn't the first time. We saw it with Griffin. We saw it with Tebow. We're seeing it with this dude. And I'm sure it'll happen again. But oh my God, if you find that thought entering your brain, hit yourself with a hammer until it leaves. Stop it. Stop it.
It is noxious. You know, it is so toxic. Just even the discourse around this in both directions, mind you.
Sure.
Right? Like, I'm not saying just that one side is wrong, but as soon as he had played okay in a preseason game against guys that are all getting cut today. And by the way, I was thrilled. He looked really good. Like, I was one of the ones when I watched the highlights where I was like, oh my God, I overreacted too. I'm like, Shedeur Sanders, awesome. I go back, watch the game. There's some good, there's some bad. But overall, it's a really good performance. You're stacking a day. That's what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You're stacking practices. You're stacking preseason games. You're just stacking a bunch of pennies until you have some money, right? But at that point, Jamie Foxx is doing videos and all over the country, different celebrities. LeBron James is commenting. It just, I don't do celebrity backup quarterbacks. Example number 18 million. If I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm being asked point blank in a press conference, this actually happened 2 days ago. What do you say to the people who think that you're purposefully setting Shedeur Sanders up to fail? Eject. It's over. I'm out. We had Mike Jones of The Athletic on the show yesterday, and he said there are people in the building, you know, that disagree over how they're handling Shedeur Sanders. Well, number one, I'll take him at his word and say that that's true, okay? That's not that uncommon. That's a normal thing, by the way. After you draft a young player, or certainly when you draft multiple young players in the same draft, mm-hmm. which you can make the case teams shouldn't do because of this, but right away, you could have said that about Washington, where Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and some of those guys are going, damn, this Cousins guy runs what we do really, really well. Is like, anyone noticing this? There's probably some conversations that are happening, but the fact that it even gets out, you know, the fact that media right. people are talking about it, that's toxicity. You know, that is dangerous and destructive, and it's just something I'm not willing to do unless the talent is just so special. And in this case, maybe it is. I don't think it is, but maybe it is.
Well, I happen to think he's the most talented quarterback on that roster.
Okay, but we'll come back to that. I'll come back to that. But you're not even starting. Mm-hmm. You're the third string. I can't have the third string guy being the person that is the distraction.
Right.
And it's not even anything he's doing.
Right. It's not even his fault, like, necessarily. But if he's the topic on FS1 as the third string guy, oh my God.
So that's how I will sum it up, by the way. My third string quarterback will never lead SportsCenter. My third string quarterback will never be the Chiron at the bottom of the screen for
Shouty Shows.
Rachel Nichols on the mm-hmm. Shouty Show talking about what does this mean for him? Nope. That is the 51st most important question in my building today. I got 50 other guys with questions I'm answering before the third string quarterback. That can be Sam Hartman. That can be some Driscoll to be named later. That can be Josh Johnson.
Name that Keenum.
That can be Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
It will not be whatever is happening in Cleveland. But people were like, well, how did this get to this point? Why did he fall so far? It's almost like it's playing out right in front of your eyes. Because this is a net minus, not a net plus. Everything's under a microscope. The other backup quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, who they took in the third round, he answered a question on the sideline from a reporter about reporters. And he said something like, yeah, you know, some people are entertainers. Some people compete. I'm out here competing. Listen to the question.
Yeah.
It was literally about the media, basically. It was taken as this personal
shot across the bow
to Shedeur Sanders. Nope. No interest in this. Therefore, I am out. Now, going back to what you said, I also agree that he's the most talented guy on the roster physically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that means he's the best quarterback on the roster.
Probably not at the moment, no.
Joe Flacco's gives you a better chance to win right now. I'm sure of that. And based on what I saw in the preseason, I don't know if you watched their final game. I went back and watched Shador's performance. I mean, he looked like a deer in the headlights. He took 5 sacks. I think there was a minus 24-yard sack where he like ran backwards in circles.
Yeah, I saw that play on the low lights. That was not great.
So that's a play that I can't put you on the field when that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We got to coach that one out of you before you touch the grass again. So I would say Dylan Gabriel probably gives him a better chance. But there's no doubt in my mind, if you line them up and have them throw passes into a net and run around and do things, I will draft Shedeur Sanders over Dylan Gabriel 1,000% of the time based on the physical. It's so much more than that, though. I'm not just talking about mental. I'm talking about, is Rachel Nichols yelling on TV about Dylan Gabriel. And to me, that matters some. Not to everybody, but to me it does.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, if that person's your starter, if it's, you know, round one, pick one, if it's Caleb Williams or whatever, you go, yeah, it's fine. There's a circus that's going to come with the guy that's been a presumptive high pick, et cetera. When it's clearly not the role, and listen, whether you think it was a mistake or not, the league did speak here, right? That it wasn't round one or two or three or four. It wasn't until round five for somebody that said, okay, fine, the value's too great for this talented of a player for us to pass, even though we had a different plan of quarterback. See, Dylan Gabriel, and we were going to go with Sam the Eagle, a.k.a. Joe Flacco, to start for, you know, to be a caretaker, to keep the nest warm for a little while. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you invite the mess, and then you're surprised when a mess shows up.
Darius asked, do I have any issue with Rachel Nichols? No, she's just a – I'm just – I looked at the screen today, and if a different Shouty Show was on with the same exact graphic at the bottom, I would be talking about that Shouty Show person. She just happened to be the one hosting today, and they were asking a question about the third-string quarterback for the Browns, who was a deer in the headlights the other day in a preseason game against backups. That's all. All right, let's move on. Quarterback conversation. Grant and Danny, cut down day. The Saints just named Spencer Rattler their starter over Tyler Shuck. No issues here. You might as well just empty out the toothpaste tube before you move along on Spencer Rattler. I think I got a pretty good idea of what he is and what he isn't. I know what you are. I know what you're not. You're not a starter. But you might as well give him one last shot before you go to the rookie who you can kind of groom and develop here for a few weeks until he gets on the field. So no issues there.
Yeah, so very rarely you can find a Bryce Young situation where a young quarterback gets benched, then comes back and actually does better. Like, to me, that's really hard. That actually speaks to the character of Bryce Young. And why am I talking about that? Because if you start out with Shug, then when he gets benched, that's pretty much a doomsday almost to that guy. A lot of times, you got to know the player, you got to know the character of the guy. Being able to pull the lever of, as you said, we're not going to be very good. We'll give Spencer Rattler a chance to run around and make some plays. Kind of holding off. And then when we go to the kid, there's a little bit of excitement. There's a little bit of juice. Whereas if you start with him and then he's not ready for prime time on a bad team that I expect to be really, really bad, then now you're kind of, in danger of having the next regime come in and draft somebody else or whatever. So to me, this move makes sense for a guy that hasn't blown you away just yet in terms of training camp.
Our Vikings QB spot, they made an interesting decision here. So they really like this college free agent. I don't know anything about him. Saw him very minimally in the preseason. This kid's name is Max Brosmer. He played at Minnesota last year. So the local ties was already a good story going into camp. Then he played well at practice and in the preseason. So he made it as their third quarterback as a UDFA. But I'm really interested in the fact that with J.J. McCarthy as their starter, their plan B now is Carson Wentz.
That Carson Wentz.
They were so disappointed in what they got out of former Washington great Sam Howell, who they traded just a couple of days ago, that they moved on from Howell and brought Wentz in, who was on the street, to now be their QB2, one play away from being the starter for a potential NFC championship game type team outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah.
What an awesome opportunity for Wentz if he gets on the grass at some point.
Without a doubt. And again, another former Washington star there, just a backup quarterback. That Minnesota connection is very real.
What if he plays, you know, let's say week six when...
If McCarthy gets hurt or something.
Yeah, but I'm saying when Addison comes back, and I think Jordan Addison is underrated and awesome. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Ty Felton, who's a star from the University of Maryland, third-round pick. Jalen Naylor still there, former sixth-round pick, really, really good player. TJ Hockenson, out of the backfield, Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason. Offensive line that's gotten a ton better. As good a situation as you're going to find. And Carson Wentz just luck boxes into that after not participating in a training camp all a month. I mean, he's winning off the field right now.
Yeah, with a quality defense that I think they upgraded with a couple of moves, an offensive line that was clearly a priority, first-round draft pick as a left guard, a couple free agents at center and right guard to upgrade that group, which I think was in dire need of it. Wide receiver outside of maybe the best in the game and Justin Jefferson, you're waiting on Addison to come back. I'm not sure there with Felton, Naylor, and company. I like Felton, but are we sure he's ready to, you know, bear the load of number two?
I think eventually he'll be really good, but we know this. Early on in your career, mid-round wide receivers, it could take some time.
But with O'Connell kind of the quarterback whisperer there, this is a really good situation for anybody. And Aaron Jones, by the way, is ageless. I mean, that's a guy that I thought was maybe done for leaving Green Bay. He was really good last year. I bet he'll be really good this year as well.
Last quarterback item. This is related to the Browns, I guess, a little bit. We mentioned Kenny Pickett got traded. How about a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett? I think the Raiders found themselves in a pretty difficult spot because Aiden O'Connell, who was supposed to be QB2, got hurt, broke a bone in his hand. He's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and they don't really have anybody else. They have a sixth-round pick named Cam Miller, who who's also on that roster. But behind Geno Smith, you needed somebody. So I would have thought, why don't you call Carson Wentz, you know, like the Vikings did, mm-hmm. or whatever. But they traded a fifth for Kenny Pickett.
That's rich.
Who might get one more opportunity. I saw a great stat last night. Get this. So there are more trades now than there used to be in the NFL. You and I talk about this a lot. It didn't used to be that anybody ever really got traded. The only player in the last 30 years in NFL history to be traded 3+ times within his first 4 years in the league. So you follow that? 4 seasons in, he's already been traded 3 times. Mm-hmm. Sam Howell.
Sam Howell.
The second guy to do it, Kenny Pickett. Both in short order this week. I think that's a sign of how often guys get traded now, but also tells you that there's interest in these players. There's something that they do. Yes, teams move on from them, but there's always a club willing to get in line to do business with them too.
Yeah, maybe it's the, you know, the film room teammate kind of deal, right? Where yeah, even if the play doesn't match, you know, they can learn your system real quick. Or they have that kind of Josh Dobbs rocket scientist aptitude to come in and figure stuff out pretty quickly. But the Raiders have an interesting starter kit, right? They haven't gone about it the way that I would, certainly, in terms of building something. But they went and got Geno Smith to make sure that they were okay. They didn't want to be down there at the bottom anymore. I think it lowers your ceiling, but raises your floor, certainly. You draft Ashton Jeanty in the first round. Again, I wouldn't have done that when I have so many other things that I need to build, but they did. So you add Jeanty to Bowers. Not a particularly great receiver spot, but all of a sudden, with Pete Carroll, you'd expect a massive improvement on the defense, which was atrocious last year. But plus, I think they've got 5, 6, maybe 7 new starters on that side of the football. And they're going all in to be fine in a really, really hard division. But they're intriguing to me.
They've done a lot of things that make no sense to me over the last year. Now, hiring Pete Carroll, I think, is going to raise their floor immediately.
That's the idea, right?
Establish a culture. It's a Dan Quinn-ish kind of hire. Not the direction I'd be going in, but that's what they wanted to do. Then you go get the veteran quarterback in Geno for the same reason. I would be punting. You know, I'm trying to bottom out to pick high to find my QB of the future. They're doing the opposite. But Pickett, a 5th-round pick, that one is tough for me to square, I got to tell you.